I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Memories are a funny thing, I don't know about you, but sometimes they creep up with me out of nowhere, unexpected. Maybe it's a song or a smell or something on the TV that brings a memory to mind. And when I was reading the lessons earlier in the week for today, a particular memory shot into my brain. Not sure, well, I know where it came from, but it was of the Milky Way. I don't know if anyone here has actually ever seen the Milky Way in person, but I've had that great pleasure myself. As we go along, you hear all my stories, right? One time, I grew up by the shore, and my uncle had a very large boat, and we had gone out on an overnight trip. I was in high school, and the seas were particularly rough, so I was not having a good time of it. Didn't see much on our way out. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, he yelled out from the wheelhouse, "Char, look up!" And I look up, and before me is this magnitude of stars that you can't even describe. From the horizon in front of me, to the sky above me, to the horizon behind me, was nothing but millions and millions and millions of stars. Incomprehensible as to what that actually looked like. We were 15 or 20 miles out from the shore, so there was no land near us. It was just water and sky. There's no light pollution out that far, just water and stars. It was the most magnificent thing I have ever seen in my lifetime. And so I'm sure you're wondering, Milky Way, what's this got to do with today? But today we hear Abram called to go outside and look up. And I want to set some context for where we are today. In the previous chapters in Genesis, Abram and Sarai, and we know them as Abraham and Sarah, but early in their journey, they are Abram and Sarai. God promises them that he would bless them, that he would make them into a great nation. They would be a blessing to all the families of creation. They didn't have any children. Abram was in his 70s, and Sarai was too old to have children at that point, but they leave their homeland and they set out on a new adventure. It seemed impossible to them that they could have children, but with faith in God and his promises, they begin their journey of hope. As they traveled and settled and traveled and settled, you know the story, they move here and have some trouble and move there and have some trouble. I'm condensing, but that's okay. I'm sure during that time there were times of doubt, uncertainty, and certainly they made some decisions that weren't necessarily what God wanted them to do, but that's okay. We do the same thing. During one of those doubting times, early in their story of moving around, God reminds them and promises them again that they're going to be a great nation. He tells Abram, look as far as you can see, to the east, to the west, everything that you see, as much as the dust, I will make your offspring, like the dust of the earth, if you can count the dust, he says. God promised that through Abram and Sarai, they would bless the rest of creation. And so the promise continues, and they continue to wait. That's where we find ourselves today in our lesson from today. Abram is again beginning to wonder and doubt whether God intends to fulfill that promise or not. It's been years since they left their homeland. He and Sarai are getting older. They still don't have any children. They don't have their promised heir, which means that one of their employees is going to inherit everything. That's the ultimate family dynamic for me. You know how people are about their stuff. My mom's getting older, and she wants certain people to have certain things. And that's okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But for Abram and Sarai, they don't have anyone in mind that they want to give it to. I'm sure Abram is in some serious doubt as to his life choices. And just when you think he might give up, God shows up again. Tells him, do not be afraid. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. God again renews his promise of a great reward. And if I were Abram, I might be thinking, I'm frightened, I'm anxious about my future, I'm separated from my home, my people, I have no heir. It certainly doesn't appear things are going to change. And you keep promising me a great reward? And Abram says as much, protesting that God had not delivered. We hear him saying, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? Abram goes on, you've given me no offspring, and so a slave born to my house will be my heir. In other words, yeah, I hear you, God, but, you know, I'm still childless after all this time. And now my servant is going to inherit my land, my money, everything I worked for. How is that fair? I'm still waiting. Sound like any of us? I'm still waiting. God promises again, no one but your very own issue shall be your heir. God takes Abram outside, tells him to look toward heaven and count the stars, if he is even able. Count the stars. We can do that around here sometimes on a clear night. There aren't that many that shine that brightly. But the Milky Way? Yeah, you can't count those. Way too many. All so shall your descendants be, he tells Abram, looking up into the night sky. Imagine God telling you a promise like this. Go outside, look up at the stars when it's a really clear night and there's a whole bunch of them. That's how big I will make your inheritance. Looking at the Milky Way, there's no way to grasp the enormity of that inheritance. There's no way to wrap your brain around how big that actually is. God responded to Abram's doubts by doubling down on his promise. He assured him, look at the night skies and number the stars. You can't count them all. Those will be your descendants. Your family will be enormous beyond your imagining. The promise at this point gets even bigger, even more outlandish than it had been before. Dust, you can't see, it blows around in the wind, but the stars, there they are. And then the most remarkable moment happens in the story. Abram didn't complain or object, but rather he chose to believe. He repented. He turned away from his doubts and renewed his commitment to God. Scripture tells us this one simple sentence, and he believed the Lord. It's a powerful sentence at that, and he believed the Lord. He reoriented his life around God's promise, even though the promise appeared ludicrous. Let's look at the circumstances, shall we? He is in his later years, well into his later years. Sarai, a wife, well past menopause. Those factors certainly don't bode well for someone told they will have descendants beyond measure. Despite what appeared to be a dim chance, Abram turned away from his own understanding of reality and accepted God's framing of reality. I'm going to say that sentence again. He turned away from his own understanding of reality and accepted God's framing of reality. And despite the great distance between God's promise and Abram's reality, he would let God be in control. He would embrace the mystery, the uncertainty of God's promise. It's here where Abram decides to trust the promise rather than the evidence. Abram would have to wait another dozen years or so to father Isaac with Sarai. And it's at that point that their names are changed to Abraham and Sarah, just to be clear. But God does deliver on his promise. And so I ask you today, what does the distance between God's promises and our reality look like? What does that look like for us? By nature, God is a promiser. He's made a ton of them to his children. Just look in the scripture. There are lots of examples of promises and fulfillments from God. A promise is the assurance that God gives his people so that they can walk by faith while they wait for him to work. You don't realize how much you need God's promises until your smooth-sailing life hits some nasty currents. Lent is a good time to dig into God's word and get something to wrap your faith around. The Christian life would certainly be easy if the space in between when you claim God's promises and when you receive what he promised is small. That time is short. You could read the Bible, see the promises, and then the next day, bam, you got them. That'd be nice. But we know that's not the way life works. The hard part is the waiting between the promise and the answer. And even harder when the waiting comes with uncertainties. Where is this going? Where's my life going? Where am I going to end up? What's the future look like? What am I supposed to do? Reality is we just don't know sometimes. And it's this not knowing that crushes us. Occasionally, we doubt because we don't know. We worry and despair because we don't know. We falter and sometimes we even fail, all because we don't know. We're human. If only we knew how this trial was going to play out, we'd be okay. But we don't sometimes. Now, I can take a bad day. I have lots of them. I can take a bad month. I can even take a bad year, maybe even a bad decade. as long as I know how it will end up. And for some of you this morning, it might be a health crisis. For others, it might be a question about your marriage or an uncertainty with a child or someone else you love. For others, it's a restlessness in your soul. We all have areas of uncertainty where we need to hold on to what God has said. His promises are what we cling to while we wait for him to work. Our faith is in God. He knows what he has promised. He can't lie, and he can't forget, and he won't forget. And he will deliver on time, all the time, in his time. And who else can make promises like that? I wish I could tell you that things always figure out perfectly in our lives, but of course we know that wouldn't be true. You cannot make sense of the promises of God with this life only. You must factor the reality of eternity into the equation. Eternity brings it all together. The promises of eternal life and the assurance of hope in heaven are what make God's promises exceedingly great and precious. And I circled this morning the line from the psalm. I said you should cut this out and hang this up. Oh, tarry and await the Lord's pleasure. Be strong and he shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. No matter how long the waiting, no matter how many trials we face, through it all, may we hear the words of God. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Amen.